for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
I'm wondering if you know that God loves you. Like, I'm wondering if you really know he loves you, and if you know, while you know he loves you, that you're not as you should be. Brendan Manning, one of my favorites, says, God loves you even though you're not as you should be. None of us are as we should be. And so I want to tell you right now at the beginning of my teaching time that Jesus came for all of you. Jesus came for alcoholics, prostitutes, drug addicts, executives, doctors, teachers, failures. He came for successes, prodigals, the broken, the whole, children, parents, the married, single, widowed, divorced, wealthy, homeless, criminals and convicts, priests and pastors. He came for all because Jesus loves all. Do you know that he loves you? And I'm going to postulate that you don't know how much he loves you. He loves you a lot, more than you know, regardless of your choices in life, regardless of whether you are a seed, a root, or a tree, or not even on a faith journey, Jesus loves you. And so we find ourselves in week two in our Grow series. The month of October is Grow, where we want you to grow in owning your own growth. Grow in owning your own growth. And all of grow has to do with you falling in love with the one who loves you. He came for all of you. Now, this might be getting old for some of you, but there's new people here. So for their sake, would you elbow your neighbor and say, he came for you? Now, I don't know if you're hearing it. Elbow your other neighbor and say, really, he came for you. The love of Christ is what is at the root of this concept of growing and owning your own growth. If we ever hear sermons that I have given or Rod has given about, you know, serving the lost, the least, and the lonely, about growing in intimacy with Christ, about living a life of mercy, if you ever hear any of our teachings from about belong, believe, become, without it rooted in the love of Jesus, I am nothing but a resounding gong and a waste of your time. If you ever hear any encouragement to put your faith in action apart from Christ's love, I've missed the mark and you've missed the mark, and we've done nothing more than become religious people who've missed the whole point of Christianity. And so when we stand up here this month and when we wear t-shirts and hoodies that say grow, we're encouraging you to fall in love with the one who loves you. Capitalism is a wonderful economic theory. You get what you earn. You're paid for that which you do. It's a beautiful economic thing. It's a horrible theological thing. And as Americans, we sometimes confuse capitalism with the grace of Jesus Christ, and grow becomes striving and effort and work. It's not what it is. Grow and you owning your own growth is simply you falling in love with the one who loved you long before you ever thought of him. It's the beauty of the symbolic nature of this infant baptism thing. That kid had no thought of God whatsoever, none of them. Well, maybe the visitors, because they had 37 people here. There's something special there. 41. Man, everybody else was slacking today. I'm kidding. Your child had no thought towards God. And yet the symbol of infant baptism is God reached down and brought love to the child before the child had any thought whatsoever of God. And when we ask you to grow in owning your own growth, we're simply asking you to fall in love with the one who loved you. Paul helps us out in the book of Colossians, just the first chapter, a few different verses, New Living Translation. Paul says, And through him, this is Jesus he's talking about, through Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. Stop right there. If we have a misunderstanding of the concept of grow, we will misinterpret that. We will, instead of reading, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself, we will say, and through him, I had to work really hard to be reconciled to God. That's not what it said. Who done did the reconciling? I'm sorry. There's a lot of visitors. That was a question. Usually requires an answer. Let me try again. Who done did the reconciling? Not you. Not me. And so as we encourage you to grow in owning your own growth, we're not encouraging to try harder. We're pointing to the one who done did the work. So you don't have to. Back to the text. I'll start over. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He, not we, he made peace with everything in heaven and earth. And by means of Christ's blood, not your hard work, but by means of Christ's blood on the cross. The work of bringing us to Christ, it's God's work. It's not yours. It's not mine. That's really good because, as Brendan Manning said, none of us are as we should be. You might find this odd, but sometimes I preach a lousy sermon. Don't tell me if this is one of them right now. When I was newish as a preacher way back when and had that hair going on, I would be wrecked for the entire week because I blew it. And I would beat myself up and, man, what was I thinking? I did it wrong. I shouldn't have done anything. Until some friend told me that, you know what? The work of God's grace isn't your work. And God's grace can handle you preaching a bad sermon. And I know some of you are saying, yeah, we know. And it's true for you. Some of you, you've had bad days. And I'm not talking bad days when things have been done to you. I'm talking about the type of day when you've just been stupid. You've been a knucklehead. And as the Apostle Paul would say in Romans 7, that thing you never wanted to do again, you did it again. And the thing that you didn't want to do, guess what? There it is, you know, it's just happening. You have had bad days, and the tendency is to beat the self up. I'm telling you, the work of reconciliation is done, not because of how good you were at it, but because of how God has done it for us through the blood of Christ. Somebody say amen. Verse 21. This includes. Well, who does it include? This is a good question. Who does this finished work of reconciliation include? Well, it includes you who were once far away from God. My parentheses. Everybody! This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Now he, not we, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he brought you into his presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. He did it. Here comes a question. So let me ask you again. Who done did the work of reconciliation? Yeah. And because he did it, I can say stuff like Jesus came for alcoholics and prostitutes and drug addicts and executives who think they didn't need Jesus, but guess what? They do too. And teachers and doctors and failures and successes. He came for prodigals. He came for the broken, the whole, children, parents. He came for married and single, widowed, divorced, wealthy, homeless, criminals and convicts, pastors and priests, and everybody in between. He came for all of us. I'm trying not to do the same old thing every time. But I kind of feel like I got to do that same old thing again. And ask you if that struck you as remotely good news. And if it did, tell your face. Tell your face is good news. You can even tell your hands good news. And I mean, I'm telling you, you have made mistakes. You've been evil. You've been far from the Lord. But Christ did the work, so you didn't have to. And so I can say he came for you. Amen. The primary work of grow, it's his work. It ain't yours. The primary work is his work, and his love for you has nothing to do with your efforts to grow. I'm going to say that one again. And again, if it strikes you as good news, just you can turn your, just a little bit. His love for you has nothing to do with your efforts to grow. In the next verse, verse 23, there's a verb or two that maybe can apply to you that will help us in this concept of growing and owning our own growth. Growing and owning our own growth. And that's a great phrase because, you know, I mean, God does the work, but it ain't my job to grow you. You've got to embrace these next couple of verbs so that you can grow, so that when you're old and dying, you can't say, you know what, those pastors, they didn't help me grow. Here's your verb. You must continue to believe. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. And here's a verb that you shouldn't do. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. So the verbs, continue to believe, stand firm, and the negative, don't drift away. My mom was the youngest of 11 children. Cousins, I think I have about 1,003. Because my mom was the youngest and I'm the youngest in her family, I'm the youngest of the grandkids. I was gathered with the next few in line, my brother, my cousin Adam, and my cousin Darren. This was years ago when I was in fourth grade. Fourth grade, my brother and my cousin Adam were in fifth grade, and my cousin Darren were in sixth grade. Behind grandma's trailer down in Independence, Indiana, we found a crick. It's not the creek, it's the crick. The crick had a bunch of mud in it. Now, the original plan was just to kind of go and play back there, but you know, when you have four young boys and a boatload of mud, well, what's going to happen? Mud happens. And it was delightful. We were playing in that mud, and we actually decided to see if we could cover every inch of our bodies with mud. And so there are the four of us, two fifth graders, a fourth grader, and a sixth grader. We were successful, and we were covered in mud. I mean, you could just see the whites of our eyes. I've seen pictures of it, and it's just a beautiful, glorious thing. And so we trudged up the little hill back to Grandma's house where all the aunts and uncles were gathered, and Grandma was out there on the porch. And as we approached the house, they said, stop! Do not get close to that house. And do not get close to us. Because we were just dirty. So they called Darren's older brother, my older cousin, who happened to be a junior in high school at the time, and they said, Mike, get the hose. So they got the hose. Now, the hose was linked up to the aforementioned creek water, which was really cold because it came from an underground spring. How does one get clean when there's a hose held by an older cousin? What do? Psh! Our fun decreased, and Cousin Mike's fun increased. And so he is hosing us down, and under the belief that it would clean us, we didn't stand still. When it got to me, there was no way I was standing still. I'd rather die muddy than have that cold water on me. And so I was running, and my brother had to hold me. And I'm like, that's cold. I fought it. I got angry because it was awfully cold. In order for me to get clean and to be welcomed into the house of blessing, because grandma could cook. I mean, is there something like a grandma thing you can't cook until, or you can't get the grandma card till you can cook? The pumpkin pie was calling my name. But before I could go into the house of blessing, I had to stand firm and let the water wash me clean. Now, I wanted to kind of drift away because it was cold. But in order for me to get clean, to in, into the house where the pie was waiting, I had to stand firm and let another do the work of washing. I'm going to assume you get the point. You must continue to believe, Paul says. Believe the truth and stand firmly in it. Stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. You see, the grace of God is like Cousin Mike with a hose. And the whole concept of grow and you growing and owning your own growth, the whole thing about growth is you simply standing firm and letting the water of Christ wash you clean. It ain't about you trying to get clean. Can you imagine me and my brother and my two cousins trying to clean each other off with our muddy hands and no water to clean us? And yet that's what we do when we approach growth as our efforts apart from the love of Jesus. You just got to stand firm and let the water come. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's hard to stand firm. That's why it's a verb. You got to stand firm. And that's why the Apostle Paul put that phrase there, don't drift away, because it's hard not to drift away. Even though God does the majority of the work, all we got to do is stand. Guess what? Life is filled with distractions that call us over here. And next thing you know, we're distracted like that dog Doug in the movie Up, and we see squirrels, and we're so elsewhere. And we're just distracted, and we get going through life, and next thing you know, we're just wandering through life aimlessly, and we forget to stand firm in our own growth. And really, I mean, there's some examining that's helpful here. Are you the same dude or dudette that you were last year? Is your anger the same place? Is your worry the same place? Just look back a year. And if you don't see some growth, well, the news is good for you, because we got the whole month of October to help you realign your priorities. And you can commit to growing and owning your own growth. And if you look back and you don't see growth, you can say, you know what, this is going to be the year that I stand firm. And there's some tools that will be helpful for you in standing firm. Also, verbs, you can study your Bible. But you need to know that studying your Bible ain't about getting more knowledge. Johnny Erickson Tada, she's been paralyzed, quadriplegic, for decades and decades now. When she was in high school, way back when, she dove off the dock and she broke her neck. She says this about God. She says, God is good, not because he gives us answers, but because he gives us himself. Yeah, let me help you. Just nod your head. Yeah. Just everybody nod your head. Yeah. And if you're a visitor, you nod your head too. Yeah. God is good, not because he just gives you answers, because he gives you himself. And so Bible study is helpful in you standing firm in your own growth, but not the type of study where you just get more knowledge, but where you actually get him. You know, prayer is helpful too in your standing in your own growth. But prayer isn't so that you can like twist God's arm. God, I'm praying really hard. Please, God. You don't change God's mind. Prayer's not designed to do that. It's designed, well, it is designed to change somebody. Who? Yeah. Yeah, prayer changes you. And so as you stand firm, you can embrace some things like Bible study and prayer. And worship is helpful as you stand firm. You know, and worship can be one of two things. Actually, it can't be one of two things. Worship is mistakenly thought as singing songs. Oh. It's not worshipful if your heart ain't in it. Some of you know this, but I need to confess. The Bible says confess your sins to one another and you'll be healed. So I like 80s hair metal band music. But that stays here, right? That doesn't leave the building. And there are times when I hit the old satellite radio and I'm singing to Def Leppard at the top of my lungs. No, don't laugh. Thank you. We got Rudy. as loud as I sing, that ain't worship. There's a difference between singing and worship. In worship, sometimes the hands have to go up because you realize worship ain't about singing, it's about loving the one who loved you. And sometimes it means you gotta sit when everybody's standing because you just are overwhelmed with how good he is. Singing is fine, singing is good, but worship transforms the soul. And so there are some verbs that you can embrace to help you embrace that verb, stand firm. But it ain't about your effort to earn anything from God. It's simply helping you stand under the shower of God's grace. And here's the deal. That hose in God's hand, that hose of grace that enables you to walk into the house of blessing, that hose is always going. It's always on. And my cousin Mike was happy to hose us down, but not nearly as happy as God is to hose you down. His hose is always going. Sometimes we just drift away from it. Stop drifting, get back. And let the waters wash you clean. Grow. Grow in owning your own growth. CNN Money magazine will help you grow in owning your own growth. It's true. I can't believe I'm actually quoting this. In my life, I never knew there was a CNN Money website until this week. August 24th headline. This is going to be helpful for you in growing and owning your own growth. August 24th headline this year. The headline was, "Why Billions of Dollars Go Unclaimed in Lottery Prizes." And then there was a whole article on why those monies go unclaimed. Two of them were noteworthy. Two prizes were unclaimed. Somebody had the winning ticket for a $31 million prize, and they didn't claim it. Somebody else had a $71 million prize that they didn't claim. Now, what would you do if I said, this ticket's going to give you $71 million? What would you do? See, as I read the article, there were two things that these folks had to do that they didn't do to receive the blessing of some cash. They had to show up, and they had to receive. That's it. They just had to show up. Here I am. Hi. And they had to receive. They had to show up, and they had to receive. And yet they didn't show up, and they didn't receive, and they left millions or billions on the table. I'm telling you that Jesus came for you. He loves you regardless of who or where or what you do. And he has blessings for you beyond your wildest dreams. All you got to do is show up and receive. Grow. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Grow. Grow in owning your own growth.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.